Lord, we thank you, we love you, and we bless you. We need you, Lord. So much happens from night to day, let alone from Sunday to Sunday. So God, we just ask for your grace. We ask for your peace. All the fruit of the Spirit, Lord, let them operate in our life. Jehovah Shalom, be the God of peace. Jehovah Shammah, be the Lord God that we need to be there, be right there, in the midst of our circumstances, in the midst of our struggles, Lord. Then Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God, heal our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our infirmities, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, be there for us. So we thank you and we bless you. Thank you for being Jehovah Tisikanu, the Lord God, that is our righteousness, because we couldn't do that on our own either. Now we ask that you speak to us through your word, Lord. Let it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path as it illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, dying, and decaying world. God, thank you for the blueprint, the map. The word teaches us how to think, how to live, how to give, how to forgive, how to love, how to lead, how to follow. Open our hearts and our minds. Bless your people. Open our hearts and our minds to receive your word this morning, Lord. We love you for it. And we bless you, Lord, because you've blessed us so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, family, here we go. So this will be a little of review mixed with revelation from God and the power of his word. Amen. So we're at chapter 10 and 14. It says, I am the good shepherd. You should have the good shepherd underlined in your Bible and your notes. You should have and know my sheep and have known of my sheep. Remember the word know, and known means that we are intimate with God. It is a marriage relationship. It's intimacy, like a husband and a wife. We are the bride. Jesus is the bridegroom. One day we will be married to Christ. Amen? Amen. And so make a note. Remember, we don't marry anybody we don't know, or you shouldn't. Amen. Ask those who have tried and ask them, how did it work out? Amen. So in order to prepare for our marriage with Christ, there's a certain way that we should live, because there's a certain way that you live when you are engaged. Amen? Your whole life, once you're engaged, let me put it this way. For by grace are we saved through faith, right? It is a gift of God. When God gave us the gift of salvation, that's like putting a ring on our finger. All right, he put a ring on it because he died for our sins and saved us. So now that we're saved, it's a certain way that we should live, because now we're preparing to be married to Christ. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right, so we shouldn't be living like our life is one big bachelor party.
Right.
Amen.
Because we've been engaged to Christ to marry Christ. Certain things we shouldn't do. Come on, Lord, help us. I'm talking to myself too, right? I gotta preach this to myself before I preach it to y'all. It's a certain way that you should live. It's a certain way you should behave, because you and I are engaged to be married to Christ.
Amen.
He saved us. He died for our sins, and then he chose us, right? We didn't choose Christ. He chose us. Some kind of way, in his infinite wisdom, he selected us, right? The word says we didn't choose him. He chose us. I don't know why. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, then you've been chosen by God. And that's his grace. It didn't mean we had it all together, because we all know we didn't. Amen. So it wasn't based on us living right, because we weren't, and all our works could be was filthy rags. But since God chose us and we're engaged to be married to Christ, then there's a way that we should live. And then he says, my sheep know me and I know them. We're intimate already. We're getting to know each other, because we're going to be married. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So here's the most important question. God gave this to me during study. All right. Here's the most important question in life, in this life. Amen? You want to hear it?
Yes.
Hey, man, come on, thank you. I'm going to tell you anyway, but you're supposed to say yes. Here's the most important question in life. Does Christ know you? Not that if you know Christ, that's no. Because people say, yeah, me and God, we okay. But that's the little g, because it could be any God you're talking about. I want to thank God. Little g, what God are you talking about? See, don't be impressed with that. Family, hear what I'm saying. When you stand before Christ, is Christ going to say, oh yeah, I know you. We spend a lot of time together. Even in the midst of your struggles, you stayed with me. And I told you, if you just trust me, it was going to be all right. Mm-hmm. Oh, of course I know you. Thank you. I want to thank you for spending all that time with me. And I know it was a lot of struggles. I know it was ups and downs. But I told you I was with you. I told you I'd never leave you. I told you I'd never forsake you. And I saw the tears. I remember the tears at night. I remember them in the morning. When I told you I'd be with you. And here we are right now. I told you. I told you not to give up. I told you be of good courage and be strong in the Lord and I'd be with you. And I just want to thank you for trusting me. I want to thank you for not leaving me. I want to thank you for not getting caught up with the false gods. I want to thank you, even in your roughest times, you know I was there with you. And I just want, see, that's the intimate relationship that I desire with God, that when I sit and talk with him, he's going to say, I saw all your struggles. I saw your health issues. I saw it, but you trusted me all the way through. And I told you it wasn't about the destination. It was about the journey. And I told you it's just some things that you got to go through. And you trusted me, and I'm so thankful. And I know you. We spent time, even in the midst of all that, you got up and you prayed with me. And you worshiped me. Not because you wanted something, but because we were tight like that. I've seen every last tear. And I want to thank you for just trusting me. I told you I was true. I told you I was a faithful God. Most important question, when we stand before God, will he have a conversation with us like that? Or will it be based on Matthew, what was it, 7:21? Lord, didn't I? He's going to say, we never hung out. I never knew you. You never, I don't know what God you thought you were worshiping, but it wasn't me. I've seen everything. I want to thank you for trusting me and not giving up, even when you didn't know where your next meal, your next job, your next anything would come from. Family, the most important question, please write it down if you're taking notes. Will Christ say that he knew you? And so here, all right, so now let's just get transparent and let's get as real as possible, right? Especially for those of us that are parents. We know those of us that are walking with, we know the struggles that we have and how delicate it is to stay walking with Christ. And when we see our kids and they're out and about and they're spending more time with other stuff, it kind of breaks our heart because we're trying to tell them, look, you gotta, the most important question is, does Christ know you? Oh yeah, Dad, I'm doing this. No, you don't understand. You're gonna stand before God and it's gonna be a real test. And it's, does Christ know you? All this other stuff is not gonna matter. So as parents, our heart break for our kids. But then every morning we're praying and fasting for our kids because we know the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. So as a parent, it's just, I'm praying for my kids because I know the most important question, it's not your bank account. It's not, are you engaged? Who are you dating? What are you doing? Where are you working? That stuff is garbage. Paul said everything else is just a pile of garbage. He called it stinky garbage. He called it boo-boo. Paul said everything else. So family, we're talking about the good shepherd. So here's the charge that God has given me. That you don't walk out of here and get caught up with some false prophet. If you want to hear some false doctrine, watch the award shows. I want to thank God. The most important thing we need to do is climate change. We got to save the planet. All false, and people are dedicating their life to climate change. Let me tell you this. Next time your coworker talk about that, be nice about it. But say, look, if you die without Christ, your climate's really gonna change. You ain't seen climate change until you die without. It's getting ready to get really hot, and it's never gonna stop. People are dedicating their life to foolishness. Who could care? Who could care less? If we're leaving this thing anyway. It says it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. He said he made all things new. So why are we trying to hold on to this? Because it's the false prophecy. It's the broad road. Family, I just have to make it plain. Don't get caught up. I'm telling you, the enemy is crafty. He's subtle. He's getting us caught up in stupid stuff. And then you stand before God and you're going to hang your hat on some stuff that you did here. It's sad. I'm sorry, I never knew you. All right. I'm trying to get through the introduction, y'all. Verse 14. So I have written, this is as personal as it gets. You have to choose to be intimate with Christ. You have to choose to be. We were created to worship. When we are not connected to God, the true and living God, we have to replace that connection, that intimacy, that worship with something else. Family, we have to choose. We have to make a decision. We have to choose to want to marry Christ. And the question is, does Christ know you? Does the true and living God know you intimately? So that takes vulnerability, humility, time, commitment, communication, everything that makes any relationship work. Somebody say amen. Let me give you the ingredients again that God gave me. Vulnerability. If you're trying to make a relationship work, vulnerability, humility, time, commitment, and communication. All things we should be doing with each other as we grow our relationship, and most importantly, with God each and every day. So our number one goal in life, our number one goal in life and desire is for God to know us in an intimate way. That should be your goal. That should be my goal. So I'm not fooling myself thinking I have a relationship with God. As a pastor, I hear it all. Talking to a guy at the gym, well, me and God, we got our own thing. Okay, that's a little g. What thing is that? What is it based on? Well, we're okay. Well, I don't need that. I don't really need that stuff. Okay. Pretty safe to say that God doesn't know him. Remember the example I used last week of knowing somebody and say, oh, I've seen, I know him. You got, just because you have pictures with somebody don't mean that you know them. Just because you visit their house on Sundays don't mean you know them. Somebody say amen. You can live with somebody in the same house and not know them. Amen. Come on now. You can. I'm just trying to say, family, we just as much as you can share the gospel with someone and let them know it's a real relationship. It's not something made up. You can't. It's something you can't pretend to know or to do. Amen. Make a note, family, that the gospel is practical, it's plain, and it's powerful. It's deep, but it's not complicated. It's a relationship that's practical, plain, and powerful. You can actually know if you're connected with God or not. How much time do you spend with God each day? Do you talk to God every day? Amen. Who do you have a relationship that you talk with every day? Right? Those of you that are married, those of you that have kids, do you talk to your kids every day? Do you talk to your spouse? Yeah, we have a relationship. We talk. Even if it's just a text, how you doing? I love you. I'm checking in. You communicate. And then you tell me you don't talk to God at all, and he knows you? You've never confessed your sins, your vulnerability? God, I'm struggling with this. God, help me with that. I know you love me in the midst of my struggles. I'm going to stay connected to you, but God, this is tough. If you don't have that type of relationship, you got to consider, does God really know you? And that's the most important question that there is. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. We talked about Christ laying down his life for the sheep. Verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this yard, right? So God has other sheep, other Christians that's not in this church. And he's going to bring them and they should hear his voice, underline voice. So we talk about the voice of God. Says there are other flocks, there's other believers that are not in this yard that Christ is going to bring. He's going to lead, he's going to guide, he's going to direct. That's what it means in the Greek. Because they will hear the voice, underlying voice. The Greek word is phone, F-O-N-A-Y. All right, but it's spelled P-H-O-N-E, right? So you know where we get that from, right? Help me, y'all. A phone, okay. I know we're not good at math, but come on, spelling should be one of our strong suits, right? But it's pronounced phoney. I guess I can play on that and say, don't be a phony, right? Make sure you don't hear the phony voice. But the Greek word is phone. It means pronounced. It's pronounced phoney. It means sound. Listen to this. Here's voice. What is, okay, let me read it again. Verse 15, and the other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, okay? They shall hear my sound. They shall hear my tone. They shall hear my speech. They shall hear my language. They shall hear my uttered words. They shall hear my sayings. They shall hear my noise. And it also means a musical instrument. So God is saying he puts out a sound. He puts out a tone, speech, language, word, a saying. Noise, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Somebody say amen. And then he said they'll hear the musical instrument, but they'll hear his sound, and then they will know that they're part of the flock. So here's the revelation God gave me, family. As you're praying for your children, your grandchildren, your spouse, your siblings, your parents, pray that they will hear the voice of God, the sound of God, the noise of God, the music of God, in the midst of whatever they're doing, right? Here, there, college, work, doing their own thing, in the club. Pray that God will stop that music, and in the midst of that music, he will hear the sound of his voice. Amen? That they will hear something to say, like, you know, this, like many of us been there saying, you know what, this just don't sound right anymore. This just don't feel right anymore. This just don't. Pray that they would hear the sound of God's voice. Amen. They would hear that tone. Amen. It's a tone that somebody say, amen, that your parents will speak to you in. All right. You just hear the tone or the speech. What you doing? Oh, God. The speech, the language. Pray that they would hear that from God. You don't have to browbeat, don't batter them. Just get on your knees, pray and fast. God, let them hear a different sound. Let them hear a different voice. Let them hear your voice. Jesus said, they know my voice, and they shall become one flock, one group of sheep. It's one shepherd. Make a note if you haven't already. There is only one shepherd. There's only one fold, true fold. It's only one. It's the true and living God and those that hear his voice, those that are intimate with him. Family, I don't know what else to preach on. I'm not going to preach on being blessed and giving and all that kind of stuff. And because that stuff, it don't last. I'm talking about a real relationship with Christ that we got to know that we have. And we got to share that with others, saying, look, you might want to pause, because today is not promised. And you better understand. What I said pause means a lot of things. I had it written in my other notes. God gives me this stuff. But I remember I said pause. People always, put away useless, stupid excuses. Okay, that's what pause means today. Okay, put away useless, stupid excuses. Pause. Because people always saying, and then the other pause is people always use some excuse. People always use some excuse. But because they don't understand in the spiritual warfare, family, pray for them. We got to pause and pray for them because they don't understand how delicate this thing is. It's only one flock and it's only one shepherd.
Amen.
Remember the narrow road, the narrow, difficult road, and then the broad road with all the false prophets leading it, telling you to do whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. And it's your life. And live it, yeah, YOLO, you only live once, do what you want to do. That's the broad road, those are false prophets. And then Jesus saying it's a narrow, difficult road that leads to life. And it's only one shepherd there. All right, so here we go, all right? Verse 16, all right, verse 16, right? Tells us why it's so important to hear the voice of God, because it's only one fold, one flock, and one shepherd. That's why. Amen? That's why it's so important. That's why we're praying for our family members and our kids and our grandkids and our coworkers. Because I love you on the job. We're having a good time, but I know when this thing is said and done, it's only one flock and it's only one fold and it's only one shepherd. So I'm praying for you and I'm trying to share Christ with you. So when I stand before God, it won't be any blood on me saying, well, you were there every day and you talked to him and you didn't share Christ once with them? In the midst of all those worthless conversations, you couldn't bring Christ in once. And not saying bring him in to get fired. I'm talking about on that lunch break. I'm talking about when they're really having difficult times. They say, look, I need somebody to talk to. I need you to pray for me. Because they come back saying that. After they want to clown you, then they want you to come back. And they say, hey, look, I know you go to church. I was hoping you could pray for me. Right? And that's when you say, look, Christ loved you even before you were born. You need to make a commitment to love Christ back. And I just want to share that with you. And that's it. And I will pray for you too. So thanks for asking. All right? Just come on, family. We got to do something because all this other stuff means nothing. Verse 17, therefore does my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. It was all volunteer, right? Christ volunteered his life so we could live. He died so we could live it's our reasonable service to live for God. He lets us know in verse 18 that nobody took it from him. He laid it down and he has the power. He had the power to lay it down. He had the power to take it up. And that's the commandment, that's the charge he had received of God. It was all voluntarily. Then, of course, in verse 19, there was division among the Jews for these sayings. Make a note, there'll always be division. Somebody gonna tell you, get out of their face. They don't wanna hear it, right? It was back then, and Christ was with them. He's not here now, so you can only expect. But here's why there's always division. Because the false prophets and the broad road and mankind loves darkness. We talked about that. And they don't want their evil deeds exposed. If I walk in the light, then my evil deeds, my evil thoughts are exposed and I have to do something with them. I got to confess and forsake them, or I got to self-medicate through alcohol and drugs and pretend that they're not there. So I don't want to hear it. Don't tell me about it, because I don't want it exposed, because when it's exposed, family, you got to deal with it. So it's going to always be division. Amen? All right, so let's let's go one more place today, and then the rest we'll pick up next week. Let's go to Acts 20 and 28. Let's go back there just for Acts 20 and 28. Let's go back there just for some clarity, so we know what we're dealing with and what we're up against. I love the Word of God, family. I'm studying. I'm all excited. I'm studying during the week. I'm praying, Lord, give it to them just like you gave it to me. I really thank God for bringing the connections together so we can make sense. I wanted to make sense with you. I want you to walk out of here and know that the message made sense, and I can apply it to my life. There's something I can take from today, apply it to my life, share it with somebody in hopes that they would see the power in the Word of God and the power of Jesus Christ. So look how Paul starts off in verse 28 as he's talking to the church. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the what? There's the word flock. All right. But this flock is different. It doesn't, it's flock and fold can be used interchangeably, right? But this flock, all right, let me make sure I got it right. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. This flock, it means sheep, it means disciples, and it means Christians. Let me say it again. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the sheep, all the disciples, and all the Christians over the which the Holy Ghost has made you leaders. Amen. To feed, to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. So Paul says, beware. There's people in your life. It's like your kids, it's like your family, and God's made you a leader over them. You got to look at, you got to see yourself as a leader that God has made you. It's people in your inner circle, they look up to you. And some of them are Christians, and some God has called. He said, just take heed. The Holy Spirit put you over them. Pray for the Holy Spirit. How do I talk to my kids? How do I talk to my spouse? How do I talk to my family members that are Christians? And maybe they're not living or mature as I think they should be. God, how do I talk to them? Right? It's the Holy Spirit that made you a leader over them. So pray and ask God. Because if the flesh gets in the way, it gets ugly. You want the Holy Spirit to be the one leading, not the flesh, because it gets ugly. Verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing, and I looked up that word, grievous, gosh darn, savage. Okay, let me read the whole verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing, after I leave you, shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. Bad shepherds. Okay, so remember, we're doing a comparison of a good shepherd, a bad shepherd. Paul is saying that I'm getting ready to leave you because I got to go and keep preaching the gospel, right? Some of us, we saw where he went. He was in Thessalonica. We went there. Then we went over to Corinth. And then we went over to Rome. And then we would see the different places. So Paul is telling them, I got to go. Because this is what God has called me to do. And he's saying, I know this. It's a fact. Family, we can't be surprised with all these false prophets out here. Because it's already been written about. Grievous wolves, savage, destructive men and women, cruel, greedy, and rapacious. R-A-P-A-C-I-O-U-S, I had to look it up. Aggressively greedy. That's what we got to deal with. God, help us. Look at the world today. So family, I have a read this, Sister Kathy. It says, so when you leave this assembly this morning, there are savage wolves waiting for you and will not care about you. All right, family? The savage wolves want to scatter and disconnect the sheep, the Christians, and the disciples. They want to break up your marriage. They want to break up your home. They want to break up the church. It says, read this. I got to read it, family. False prophets, they're on your job, they're on your TV, the social media, they're in politics, they're in your home, they're on the radio, they are in the music, the award shows, the reality TV, the movies, they're out to kill, steal, and destroy you. They don't care about you. They aren't playing with you, and they are not your friends. Call them what they are. They're savage, destructive wolves. They work for Satan, and their job is to kill, steal, destroy, and scatter the sheep. That's what we're dealing with. Don't get caught up in politics. Who are you voting for? I've already cast my vote for Jesus Christ. Amen? Because that's all that really matters. I want Christ to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And yes, I do know you. And I'm not telling you not to vote. Yes, you should. All right. But understand it for what it is. It's a bunch of garbage. We pray for those in authority. That's what God told us to do. Because it's a big mess. And it's always been a big mess. And if you and I were in politics, we'd be up there and we'd have to be in the middle of a big mess. And be just as messy. But it's just false prophets deceiving the flock. Family, we got to be on guard. It's all around. And we have, you know, it's just everything, everywhere. I've said it before, but when we were kids, you know, TV went off, right? I mean, you got YouTube, man. I mean, you could, it's good to have YouTube, right? I mean, you want to know how to cook something or you want to know how to repair a refrigerator. I'll never forget. I mean, we called the refrigerator repairman out. He said, look, I can do this for $150. So he told me and Tracy, right? And I'm like, okay, do it. He said, no, but you could watch YouTube and fix it yourself for about five. So he told us. So, you know, Lady Tracy, she's like, well, we gonna watch YouTube. Oh, come on, I ain't trying to, I can't. Brother Ivy, I don't know how to repair, I'm not a refrigerator repair man. Man, we watch YouTube, we put that thing together in 30 minutes and that ice maker works just fine for the last 3 years, no problem. All right, you can find anything on YouTube. That's the good news. You wanna hear the bad news? You can find anything on YouTube. And so it can become a big distraction. And remember, our youth, our children aren't savvy enough. They're not fluent in the word enough to know how to navigate through that stuff without getting caught up. And before you know it, it's been 4 or 5 hours into some garbage and into some false prophecy. And then you go to bed and then you wake up and you do it again. And you never have time to be intimate with Christ. So the savage wolves are everywhere. Oh, God help us, family. I'm trying. You know, it's just a burden for the lost and those that are out there and think that this world has something to offer. But it doesn't. All right, so let me wrap this up and then we'll stop here and then let me see, what else do I want to say? Oh, shucks. What verse am I on? 29?
Yeah.
Okay. For I know this, that after my departing shall savage, destructive wolves come in among you, not sparing the flock. And then it gets into verse 30. It says, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverted. What was that perverted? Oh, speaking corrupt and distorted things. So within the church, Paul is saying, look, it's bad enough that it's outside. You got to be careful because then it'll come from the inside. Also of your own selves shall men arise. I'll read this and we'll unpack it next week. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking corrupt and distorted things to draw away disciples, the followers of Christ, after them. God help us. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. For 3 years, Paul cried his heart out. Because as you got to see the urgency of this, family. Paul's with them for 3 years and telling them, look, I'm going to leave, and people are going to come and try and distract you, and he's crying night and day because he knows how urgent it is. And so we'll unpack those two verses next week. Amen. Ah. Ah. It's just getting warmed up. Say, Lord willing, we'll be here next week. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord says the same. Family, make a note. On Wednesday, we do takeaways. What did you take away? Take away something from this message today. Family. Amen.
Amen.
Let us bow our heads, Lord. Let us feel the urgency, God. As we walk out of here, as we step out of here, Lord. May we have our spiritual antennas alert and on point and just noticing every little thing, all the deception by the false prophets, the broad road and just everything that the enemy's trying to paint to attract us, God. Don't let it work against us, Lord. Let us remember and watch, as Paul said. I've already told you this. Watch, for 3 years I cried night and day because I told you people were trying to get you and distract you from being a disciple of Christ. There'll always be division. Stand your ground. God knows you. God wants to be intimate with you. God loves you. It's already been written in the midst of our struggles. God is still there. It's already been written that the wolves are out there. Not just regular wolves, but savage, destructive wolves trying to draw you after themselves, tell you anything to get you off the narrow, difficult road. Lord, help us to stay on the narrow, difficult road because it leads to eternal life. And we thank you for choosing us, Lord. May we prepare our hearts and minds to be married to you. Since you died for us, let us live for you. Bless your people to hear. Forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings, Lord. We're vulnerable. We come clean. The word's already told us. There is not one righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God, we need you. And because we are saved, there's a way that we're going to live. We're not going to live like our life is one big bachelor party and do whatever we want to do. No, we've been saved. We got to prepare to be married to you. You're coming back for us without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. Consecrated, set apart for you. Forgive us, Lord. Remind us to consecrate our thoughts, consecrate our hearts. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, cleanse us. Thank you for the second and third and fourth and fifth chance, Lord, to just get back up and keep pressing on with you, pressing towards the mark of the prize, the higher calling in Christ Jesus, God. Give us the strength to endure. Give us the courage to go forward. As David did, as we read on Wednesday night, he encouraged himself. God, even when people give up on us, give us the strength to encourage ourselves and get up and keep pressing towards our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless your people. Give us traveling graces to those of us that's going. Give us traveling graces to claim jumpers. And thank you, Lord, as we go and have food, fun, and fellowship and just celebrate life, celebrate each other, celebrate life in Christ. The abundant life that you gave us. Lord, we love you. We love each other. We bless you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Stand to your feet, give somebody a hug, and you are dismissed. Okay. All right. Yeah, you set it up. Yeah, I got it. I got it. So good seeing you.
What Bible would you recommend for beginners?
I would say, have you, the Living Bible? Have you ever heard of Living Bible? Okay, so look, the Living Bible, that's the one I got when I was in college, when I was trying to figure it all out. So I'd recommend King James, right? Because you, which you already probably have, and then get a Living Bible. So as you're reading the Living, and then you compare, but you're gonna love the Living. You're gonna love the Living Bible. Yeah. You're gonna love the Living. And then there's certain things that get translated from King James to the Living, which kind of, in the translation or in the paraphrase, it kind of, I would say, I can't say it weakens it, but it lessens the impact. That's why I like the King James, because there's just some things in there where it says it's like, wow. And but the Living is so solid. I still have mine too, from college, and it's all.
I have to kind of go back and forth between.
Yeah, but you're gonna love the Living.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. Anytime, Crystal. And if you need anything, just reach out. You got my number. All right. So, ladies, you all are riding with me. All right, Sister Sophia. Okay. You all can, if you all would wait for me in the office. Tracy, can you walk Mom and Mom to the office?
Okay.
Yeah, and then I'm gonna pick them up from the office and get out of here. Yeah. Take you guys, Mom. Y'all can go with Miss Sister Sophia. Yeah. Hey, love you.
I'll text you when I get to the airport.
Okay. Yeah. Do that. Okay. Don't be fooling around because you didn't do that last time. And Candy's going with you on this one too. Okay, so yeah, if not, I'm gonna be on both of y'all, okay? Brother John?
I wanted to ask that South Bay has a website, right?
It's yes, sir.
Still up and running?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If a person wanted to donate, could they donate online?
We don't have, they could, I think we have a donate button, and it might give the church address where they could write a check, but I don't think we have the credit card information and stuff set up. Let me double check that, John. Send me a message this week.
The reason I was asking, I'm having all kinds of health problems.
Okay.
I don't even have a bank account, but
okay.
I do have a lot of friends online that know what I'm going through, mm-hmm. and you know, some of them were talking about, hey, can we donate to you? I mean, I know there's PayPal and all that
right.
stuff. I'm not even sure. I'm not tech savvy
right,
about
okay.
all that stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, yeah.
But I was just wondering, like, you know, hey, instead of, you know, giving me money, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways.
Okay. All right. So let me look into that. And okay, so if they gave to the church, would you want us to write you a check after that, or is it just for the church, or is it for you?
I'm not picky. I'm just asking for health care.
Right. And if so if they would write it to the church and put in the memo on behalf of then we'll make sure. Yep, we'll make sure it gets to you.
All right.
And people do that. I can't say all the time, but it's been done before.
All right.
And it's a good thing. It's just because you know people. Feel, you know, they just feel a little better, you know, giving to a church. And it's okay because, you know, we're, you know, we don't have any hidden agendas here. We make sure it gets right to where it needs to go.
One of the things that I really like is, and I don't want this to get like twisted the wrong way, mm-hmm. I don't need money.
Mm-hmm.
What I need is what money can
Right.
I don't need $20, but I need that meal or whatever.
Right.
Can get. And the Lord does